All right, we've come to the final message of the night, so I hope you're excited about it, because I am too. Let's turn to Exodus chapter number 35. Thank you, Pastor, for giving the most coveted spot to me, the message right before dinner. So, and to top it off, Brother Rob had to talk about salting his food, and Brother Buddy talked about chocolate delight and ravioli, and Brother Jeremiah, I think, talked about cookies. So I personally guarantee there will be no food references in my sermon, so... Exodus chapter number 35, and I was under the impression that it was 50-minute messages, but I guess Pastor said 15 tonight is what I heard, so we'll try to squeeze this 50-minute message into 15 minutes as best as we possibly can. Exodus chapter number 35, I'm sorry to depart from the classic scriptures of the evening and the very familiar ones, but this is just where the Lord's put us tonight. Exodus chapter number 35. You know, an interesting thing has happened here in Exodus, just the chapters before this, in chapter number 34. Moses has now come down from the mount, and after spending time with God, getting the law and getting the Ten Commandments, as we're familiar with, and the specifications for the tabernacle, and as you guys know, his face shone, and he had to put the veil over his face because of being in the presence of God. Just an awesome experience there. But we come now into chapter number 35, and he really kind of lays out in front of the people a need to help the work, a need to build the tabernacle and supplies that were needed. And so he begins to ask them to fill this need, to give an offering and meet some of the needs of the supplies there for the tabernacle. And just looking at this, he's looking and seeking help to meet a need. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever had to be in a position like that and seek someone to help meet a need, but it's something that I've certainly done before and something that I've certainly experienced as well. And, you know, it could be something as simple as trying to get somebody to help set up the gym or help tear down the gym. And if you're available later tonight, we'd love to have you. But, you know, sometimes it's often something that people really aren't, you know, excited about doing, but just trying to enlist some help or participation or just, you know, some willingness to fill a need. You know, in our own home, we may ask our children to go clean the toy room or the playroom. And, you know, usually their response is, well, will you help me? And I want to say to them, well, I did not contribute to that mess at all. And so, no, I don't want to help you, but... you know, those type of things happen. But the one that really kind of stuck in my mind as far as thinking about an inquiring to try to meet a need or try and enlist people to meet a need, it seems like this happens more than I care to admit, and I think everybody's been asked this before, but the age-old question of what are you doing this weekend? And then you're trying to think about what they're getting ready to ask, and they said, well, I'm moving, so I didn't know if you could help me move. And so, who's ever been asked to move someone before? Everybody, okay? I felt like there was a stretch, Brother Scott remembers this, there's a stretch a few years ago where we almost opened our own business because we did it like four times in the span of what seemed like just a month. And so, we were moving people left and right. So, but looking at this and thinking about that as far as a need to move, it's not something that you kind of don't know what response you're going to get to it. You might have a variety of responses. A variety of ways that people might say or respond to it, and we'll talk more about that in just a second. But, you know, just talking about something as simple as a need is helping somebody move and somebody trying to think about, well, what is my response going to be to that? Here we have Moses coming with a even greater need to the people of God, saying we need to build the tabernacle. We need to build the place where God's going to dwell, the place where it's going to represent His presence among us. We need to build that. There's a need there. And as we look at that, we see that there's a response from the people. That is, they respond to Moses. Moses says, here's the need. We've got these supplies that are needed. We're going to build the tabernacle. We're going to build the mercy seat. We're going to have they're going to have the box. We're going to have all these different items, the candlesticks. All these are going to be there. And because there's this great need that I've laid out before you, I need some involvement. I need some help. I need some response here. And I think we can see here the perfect response to a need. The perfect response here to a need. And that's what's going on and taking place here in Exodus chapter 35. A great response from the people to a great need. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to learn from this response. Because there's a great need for us as the children of God in the year 2014 going in in the year of 2015. There's a great need for the church to do more and to reach more than ever before. As we put 2014 behind us, that's great, but we have 2015 in front of us and a great need and a great work to be accomplished. And God's not done with us yet because we're still here. And God's not done with His church yet because it's still here and there's work to be accomplished. And so with that thought in mind and understanding that, let's look at their response. As he's standing before them and he tells them what's going on, what's needed, the supplies that are needed and all that has to be entailed in there and to go and gather these offerings. Let's see, first of all, that their response was immediate. Their response was immediate. Just a few things in this passage tonight, but it says there, if you would read through the first 19 verses or so, you would see that he's telling them all the supplies that are needed, all the things that are needed. And this was an offering. This wasn't a command. He wasn't telling them that they had to do this. It was an offering. He says, you know, whatever is on your heart, you go ahead and bring that. And so here it is in verse number 20. It says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And that indicates that in an immediate sense, they left the presence of Moses and went back to their tents and their gathered their things. You would see that in just the next few verses, that here they go. As soon as Moses presents that need to them, as soon as he lays out in front of them and kind of gives them a vision and says, this is what God's given to me, this is what we want to accomplish, I love that the people's response was immediate. They didn't have to stop and think about it. They responded immediately. And here they are. They're headed to their tents. They're gathering their supplies for an offering there in just verse number 20. Now, you probably realize this, but an immediate response is not a common response. You know, usually if somebody says, hey, would you help me move? I'm not going to immediately respond, yes, I'd love to help you move. All right? Usually the responses go something like this. Well, let me think about it. Or let me check. Let me see what my wife says. And you use those kind of things to buy time. Let me try to find a way to get out of this. Let me try to find a way to delay this. Maybe if I wait long enough, they'll ask somebody else. But I love this here, that in this passage, as the need is laid out in front of them, they didn't stop and say to Moses, you know what, let me think about it. They didn't say to Moses, you know what, just give me a little bit of time. They didn't say to Moses, I'll check with my wife. No, it says right away, they turned and went back to their tents and gathered their supplies. And as we think about that, the great need that's in front of us, not just because it's 2015, but because we live in a darkening world, a world that's waxing worse and worse, we look at the need that's laid out in front of us from God's Word, the Great Commission to reach people and to see lives change. We look at that and we can consider that and say, because of the urgency of the need, we need to act immediately. We need to act immediately. And we can't say, well, I'll do that next year. Well, maybe you could say that, I guess. We've only got 3 hours left. But we're not going to say, I'm going to wait for a more convenient time. Maybe I'll get more involved in church when some things free up at work. Or I'll give a little bit more once I get my finances in order. I'll start tithing. Or we can't look at those type of things and say, hey, when the situation's just right, then I'm going to do more for God. No, the response should be immediate. Yes, right away I'm going to respond. I'm going to do what I can to help move the church and the gospel forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only was their response immediate, it was sacrificial. Look at verse number 21. It says, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle, the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, all jewels of gold. And every man that offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and red skins of rams, and badger skins, brought them. You know, as you read through this list there, I don't know if you realize this, but that's a pretty valuable list of supplies. Now, they're not bringing to the tabernacle wood, hay, and stubble. They're not bringing forth just some meaningless scraps. They're bringing forth the very best that they have to offer. They're bringing forth, and this is taking a sacrifice, they're bringing forth gold and silver and precious jewels and precious fabrics, all as a part of doing what it took to accomplish the work. You know, it's a lot easier to sacrifice when you know what it's for, when you realize and really think about what it's for. I think they truly understood what they were doing here and who this was for and what this was for. They realized this was for the Lord. You know, on multiple occasions as you look through this, it says unto the Lord, or that it was the Lord's. And I believe that was a concept that these Israelites really grasped, that as they're doing this, and as they're building this tabernacle, and as they're bringing in the supplies necessary to fulfill the vision that God had given to Moses, they realized that, you know what? This is for God. This is for the Lord. So yeah, I can give up some valuable things here. Yeah, I can give up some things I might have held dear to myself. And as you see this, they begin to give of their treasure, of their talent, of their time. You know, as you read through this, it talks about their treasure, all these different items that we listed, but also of their talent. It speaks of them sewing and putting some of these fabrics together and binding these things and putting them together, but also of their time. It took time to bring it there and, of course, to build and be a part of the putting together and the assembling of the tabernacle. But it all took some level of sacrifice and inconvenience. And as we dwell upon that and think about moving forward for the Lord Jesus Christ and doing more for Him in this next year than in the past year, we understand it's going to take some level of sacrifice. It's going to require some inconvenience. But I'll tell you this, it's definitely worth it because it's not for ourselves. It's not for the church in and of itself as the physical properties. It's not even for our pastor or for the staff. It's not for the deacons. It's not for the other members. It's for the Lord. It's for God. You know, I was reminded that even just this morning, just as silly as it was, as we're cleaning up at camp and packing and getting ready and getting everything put away, I remember telling one of the teens, asking one of the teens, hey, could you help out and take care of this over here? And finally one said, I'll do it for you, Brother Aaron. I said, well, you're not doing it for me, you're doing it for the Lord. And they're like, no, Brother Aaron, I'm doing it for you. And I said, no, really, you're doing it for the Lord. No, I didn't get that upset at him. But that was kind of the idea I wanted to have, that although I might have been the one that asked them to do it, they're not doing it for me. You know, although we might enlist and ask you to work on a bus route or to work in Awana or work in the nursery or be involved in a Sunday school class or a junior church class in this next year or to go out and knock on doors, can I tell you this? You're not doing it for the one asking. You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it for the Lord. They weren't doing this for Moses. They were doing it for the Lord. And so if that's the case, it's easy to sacrifice. Because as was talked about tonight, He made the greatest sacrifice of all in an unfair situation and gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. And the last thing is this, I love this, it was collective. Look at verse number 24. It was collective. It says, everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and of purple and of scarlet and of fine linen. And all the women whose hearts stirred them up in wisdom spun goat's hair. And the rulers brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate and spice and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense. The children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. So what's neat is this, as you read on through this, that everybody got involved in the effort. It says that the men, that the women, that even the rulers were getting involved, the children of Israel, that here I can see quite clearly it was a collective effort. And because it was a collective effort, the need was more than met. There was no problem meeting the need here because here they are coming and they're putting all their resources together. And as they're putting their resources together, they're seeing that as they put these resources together, they can accomplish more than anyone could individually. And in light of the church, in light of the Great Commission and the gospel and reaching those around us, we can accomplish so much more together than any one of us could individually. And it takes a collective effort that as we see the need that's laid out before us, as we see the need within Scripture, as we see the need around us in our public schools, or we see the need in our workplaces or in our own families in the United States of America, we see the need, we realize that it's going to take a collective effort. It can't be done alone. And no one person was going to be able to meet this need that was laid out before them. But you know, the thing I want us to realize tonight, that really what motivated this all is found in verse number 21. It says this in verse 21, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up. His heart stirred him up. What did it all? The reason why they had this kind of response that was immediate, that was sacrificial, and that was collective, is because their hearts were stirred. Their hearts were stirred. envision this. Here is Moses. He lays out in front of them what God had just given them in the mountain. I mean, at this point, he's got them right there, ready to listen to what he had to offer for them. He just had the glow of the presence of God upon his face. He lays it out and helps them to see and envision what God has planned for them. And because of that, the Bible says their heart was stirred. And because their heart was stirred, they acted immediately. And they're willing to sacrifice. And being willing to sacrifice in a collective effort, we're able to meet this need. As we think about that, as we enter the year 2015, there's a great need. We ought to open our eyes and see there's a great need. Not enough people have been saved because we're still here on this earth. Not enough lives have been changed. There's more that need to be shown and introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's more families to be reached and more adults and more teens and more college kids and more seniors. There's more that need to know that Jesus Christ loves them and died on the cross for them. There's more that need to know that there's a church that can help them in their walk and relationship with the Lord. There's a great need to accomplish in front of us. My heart and prayer is, and I believe yours is as well, that God would stir our hearts. That He would stir our hearts up with this great need. And that we would act immediately in a sacrificial way and come together collectively with a stirred heart and do some great things for God. I thank you for your attention tonight. I'll turn it over to Pastor at this time if you'll have your heads bowed and your eyes closed.